Good evening. We're going to try to get started promptly. My name is Mark Laredo, City Councilor at Large from Ward 7. I'm the chair of the Land Use Committee. I'm going to read the two docket items into the record, introduce my colleagues and staff who are here this evening, and then we're going to get right to work. So we have two items on before us, 428-16, 180-16 parens 2, Mark Newtonville LLC, petition for a change of zone to mixed use 4, and then 179-16, Mark Newtonville LLC, petition for special permit site plan approval. This is all for the project known as the Orr Building in Ward 2. I'm not going to read all the relief into the record. I think we're all quite familiar with what is being sought here. Let me start off by introducing my colleagues, but I'll first note that we are being both audio-taped and videotaped this evening. To my immediate left is Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Next to Councilor Cote, Councilor Jeb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. Behind Councilor Crosley is Councilor Susan Albright, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, not a member of the committee, formerly a member of the committee and always welcome here. Coming in with his proverbial cup of coffee is Councilor Jay Harney, ward councilor from Ward 4 and a member of the committee. I hope, Councilor Harney, you don't need the coffee because of me. I'll try not to be that boring. To my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee. Behind him is Councilor Greg Schwartz, Councilor at Large from Ward 6 and Vice Chair of the committee. Next to Councilor Schwartz is Councilor Emily Norton, Ward Councilor from Ward 2, not a member of the committee. I do expect at least one other colleague, but I know Councilor Lipoff is ill this evening. He texted me earlier tonight. He will not be in. We hope he's feeling better soon. Then staff here, to my far right is Robert Waddick from the Legal Department. Behind him is Rita Young, also from the Legal Department, the Deputy City Solicitor. Next to Mr. Waddick is Barney Heath, the Director of the Planning Department. Next to him is Alexandra Anant, Chief Current Planner, I think is the right title, from the Planning Department. And to the left of Ms. Anant is Nadia Khan, our Committee Clerk. So we're going to start off this evening with public comment from those who signed up last time because they weren't heard last time. Can I get a show of hands for those who have signed up last time to speak but weren't heard? All right. I'm going to get to you folks. I'm then going to undertake a very brief presentation from the petitioner. They have this 3D model that we've been hearing about. We're going to have about a 5 to 7 minute slideshow on that 3D model. And then we're going to get right to work. I am not going to take any other public comment this evening for a very simple, two simple reasons. One, we've had an extraordinary amount of public comment so far already, not only here, and we've had people speak now, I think, often on several occasions, but also with lots of written commentary to us. The public hearing is remaining open, but it's critically important that we as counselors have an opportunity to actually work with the language of the board order. We've been spending a lot of time as a committee talking really in generalities about the project, but we have numerous decisions, policy decisions, substantive decisions, to make, and as I said repeatedly, and I'll say again, it's my intent that we're going to vote out this project from committee. I don't know how the full city council is going to act on the zone change or the project, but we as a committee have an obligation to present a cogent, clear, thoughtful board order to the council, so when the full council debates this project, while there may be some suggested amendments as can be to a board order, I'm really hopeful that we've worked out the nitty-gritty details, and they're important decisions in addition to just language, but then we allow the council to really focus on the big picture item armed with a board order that I hope is thought through very carefully. So with that, I saw a show of hands here. Again, only folks who signed up last time because they weren't heard last time. I'm going to start in the front row. Come on up, please, ma'am. Very simple. State your name, state your address, and I'm going to keep you to 3 minutes or less because we really need to get to work this evening. Good evening. Hold on. Councilor Albright, would you be kind enough to assist here?
Hello. My name is Amy Wayne. I live at 1616 Center Street in Newton Highlands, and I'm against rezoning the Orr building to a primarily residential MU4, going from 100 units to 160. We need more commercial space, which garners more taxes and less pressure on the schools, police, fire, and other city services, and retiree benefits. Residential space increases need for these services. There's also going to be more traffic, the size of the building, and the abutters don't want it. I had gone door-to-door this weekend talking to residents in Newtonville in the historic district, and every single person I spoke to was against it, this MU4. Also, some people have the belief that this is going to have affordable housing for the elderly, the downsizers, and millennials. But unless they're wealthy, they will not be able to afford it. I have heard on Court Street the condos, the one bedroom is $658,000. I spoke to the developer who's considering putting 950 units on Needham Street, and he talked about studio apartment in Waltham that was going for more than $2,000 a month. And Austin Street is equally as not affordable what they proposed in the past. So this seems to be serving the developer and the wealthy, and I would and aside from the few affordable units that are going to be included, which could more creatively be done in the city, I would be against voting for this, and also at the risk of having more 40B projects coming in. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, next to who's next, come on up. We'll just continue going on this stuff.
My name is Diane Ferwenty. I live at 305 Winchester Street in Newton Highlands. Please vote no for the rezoning of the Orr property to MU4. I feel MU4 zoning will allow for too much density and traffic in the immediate area and increase traffic throughout all of Newton. The height of the buildings in the proposed project will be out of character with the neighborhood, particularly since it abuts the Newtonville Historic District. A project of approximately 2.84 acres is too large for this area. Residents of Newtonville beyond the abutters now look out their windows and see sky. If this building is built, they're going to look out their windows and see walls. Reducing the number of parking spaces, even with some spaces becoming available during the daytime, will only exacerbate the problem of parking. I frequently park in Newtonville, and I frequently spend a lot of time trying to find a parking space. We cannot afford to lose any parking. If the size of the parking spaces are reduced, it's going to make parking that much more difficult for all the large SUVs and larger vehicles that are so popular in Newton. A development of this size is going to increase the strain on our infrastructure. I don't feel like Newton's budget can afford to absorb extra expenses that will incur having so many more residential units. The developer of this property can build a similar project with commercial and residential units with the existing units. I don't think this project is going to benefit Newtonville or the city as a whole. People move to Newton because they want to live in a suburban environment. If they wanted a more urbanized town, they would move to such a town. The citizens of Newton have not said they want to urbanize. Again, please vote no for the rezoning of this property. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I believe the next person on that side of the room, who's next to this again, this is folks who signed up last time but weren't able to speak. Welcome, sir. Do you want to give your name for the record and your address?
Thank you. My name is Tariq Lucas. I live at 36 Central Avenue, Newtonville. I want to thank you for opening the floor for today's public comments. I stood before this group of counselors before and talked about the massive structure that is being proposed at the Your Building. But tonight I would like to talk about the demonstration that occurred last Saturday morning. Mr. Peter Harrington took time out of his day to demonstrate just how high these buildings would be. He had balloons on strings to show the height of these structures. It was a windy and Saturday morning, and there was more traffic than anticipated. And as a result, we were unable to get a full magnitude of his demonstration. However, I was satisfied with the turnout of Newtonville residents and city councilors. So while I applaud Mr. Harrington's effort and those residents who turned out, I was disappointed in the fact that the full representation from Ward 2 was absent. I could be wrong, and maybe I missed some of you, but if I didn't miss you, and you didn't have a legitimate reason not to be there, then something is wrong with this picture. This is your ward. You need to be present at these demonstrations. Because now I would like to ask those counselors who do live in Ward 2 and in Newtonville, just who do you represent? Do you represent the petitioner? Does the petitioner force you not to attend Saturday's demonstration? Are they making you vote yes on their proposal? Are they sponsoring your re-election campaign later this year? If you've answered yes to any of those questions, then I guess you do represent them. Or do you represent the people in your district that elected you and put you in this position? I ask that you speak to the Newtonville residents who live in close proximity to the Orr Building and on Court Street and ask them how they feel about this proposal. Talk to the people who have to wake up every morning and look at this new building. Maybe then you'll have some compassion on those being affected by this proposal. Maybe then you will finally understand just who you represent. One final thing. Last week someone said that 900 residents who live in close proximity to the Orr Building signed a petition against this proposal. Make that 901. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, that side of the room, anyone else who signed up last time but was not able to speak? You seem to... Yes? I'm sorry? Okay, well, why don't we finish with the folks that did, okay? And then we'll see if there's any time for that. We're just trying to get through with the other work that we have as well, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Lynn Weisberg, 5 Alden Street. I did sign up last week. I will not repeat things that I said in the one prior time that I spoke to this committee. I will focus on 2 quick points. First, last week, several speakers urged you to vote against this project because the workforce housing unit, the level of affordability that's somewhat higher than the low-income level of affordability, would not count for the SHI inventory. And they argued that because they wouldn't count, therefore they have no value whatsoever. I would urge you to think more broadly and recognize the huge value that having those units available for people who are employed by the City of Newton and other people who earn in that income bracket to have an opportunity to live in this terrific project is something that should weigh far more heavily than whether or not it counts for the SHI inventory. Secondly, many of you were on the council when the MU4 zone was passed. As I recall, it was passed unanimously. I think one councilor was absent that night. And if you look at the criteria for MU4, you should conclude that this is a project that clearly is exactly what was contemplated by the MU4 zone. I urge you, in the same way that you voted for it when it was before the council approximately two, or Board of Aldermen 2 years ago, to apply those criteria and conclude that this is a project that is perfectly suited for the MU4 zone. My last point, and I almost hesitate to say it, but I think it needs to be explicitly stated. This is not a popularity contest. You shouldn't be thinking, well, we've had, 50 people speak against it, and we've had 38 people speak for it, so therefore that means something about how you should vote on it. That is not what you should base your vote on. You should base your vote on the criteria and the application of those criteria to both the zone change and to the special permit. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kelly, but I'm not speaking as myself. I'm speaking for Sarah Lasky, who signed up last time and was going to be here tonight, but she's sick, so she asked if I could read her statement. She wanted to speak in favor of the mixed-use floor zone. Her name is Sarah Lasky at 154 Oliver Road in Newton. Hello, I'm a millennial, and I grew up in Newton. I cannot, and none of my friends can, afford to live in Newton, although many of us are still in the area. Some of us are getting graduate degrees or working near Newton, yet we have to live in Waltham, Watertown, and Cambridge or Somerville. We're not able to live in Newton because of the city's lack of attention to diverse housing options. We're the generation of eating out and spending money. Newton businesses are losing out on millennial spending because we are eating and hanging out in communities that are more affordable to live and more welcoming to young adults. Approving the OR building and the mixed-use change with the vibrant design, apartment living, and near the commuter rail is one thing City Council can do to start making Newton more welcoming to younger people who will keep Newton vibrant. And just a reminder, we spend money where we live. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Andrea. Sarah, yes. Next on that side of the room, anyone else who signed up last time? Okay. Well, given that there are a couple folks that wanted to add, I think we can take a couple more comments. Let me just see a show of hands of folks that would speak if we open it up that way. Okay, I think we can take a couple more, okay? Why don't we have you, ma'am, in the back there, and then you, sir, after her. Come on up. Just don't tell the chair that I did this, okay?
My name is Nina Cox, and I live in Newton Upper Falls on 70 Cottage Street. And I have some comments here about buildings sort of in general. Vintage buildings are often fine examples of craftsmanship and design. With some imagination and attention, they do contribute to the overall quality of life throughout the city. The editor of the Newton Tab wrote that he would like to see the OR block renewed. I believe that change can be a good thing, unless it is not. As a lifelong resident of Newton, I have seen urban renewal in the city of Newton, and I have seen it further down on Washington Street in Newton Corner. It wasn't good. At the last OR block hearing, someone remarked that Newton Corner was dumpy before it was torn down and redeveloped during the 1980s. It wasn't. Newton Corner had a fine and beautiful turn-of-the-century commercial center. The multiple buildings that were demolished needed some restoration and renovation, but mostly appeared to need more of a cleaning and a polishing. The buildings were not Victorian, but were more recent. They were not overly ornate. They had just the right amount of detail to please the eye. They were elegant and graceful. I grew up there because my grandparents' house was there. The proposed development will set a precedent for Washington Street, both east and west and beyond. Newton Corner had a strong sense of place, of neighborhood, and of community. A sense of place is a location where an individual will experience an immediate connection to the surrounding environment and will experience a sense of belonging therein. It was said that under the premise of helping people who resided in Newton Corner, officials celebrated the demolition of a genuine neighborhood. While we lose other fine parts of the city piece by piece, it adds up to an overall loss of the quality of these surroundings, often becoming only generic. Demolition begets demolition. In Newton Corner, it began in the late 1950s with the demolition of the Granite Bank building. That building was Victorian, but it was special. It was built as an interesting and beautiful castle. A centerpiece will capture our attention. It makes us want to stay. It makes us wish to linger there for a while in our surroundings. Newton Corner became the place we want to pass on through on the way to someplace else. Like other parts of Newton, Newton Corner's commercial district was constructed with both the resident and the pedestrian in mind. Someone wrote about Newton Corner. People call these buildings an eyesore, but that's like looking at a dirty window. All you have to do is wash it. You take the stairs out back here. They're all made of iron. The sashes on the windows, they're just as straight as the day they were put in. And you won't find any cords in these windows, but brass panes.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to tie it up a little bit.
I just have a couple of
great, go ahead.
Okay. These windows look like, you don't see that kind of workmanship today. Another Newton Corner individual wrote, these buildings are unique. They have human embellishment, and somebody really thought about getting light into the halls and the rooms. Every apartment is different. There aren't any mirror image places. There are circular staircases with skylights and public spaces where kids can ride tricycles on rainy days. If you have the belief that it is okay to throw buildings with reasonable potential into dumpsters and into a landfill, then you may not call yourself a green and environmentally conscious city. I'll wrap up. Construction noise should only have to be endured if it is truly worthwhile or truly necessary. Speaking from my own experience with a relatively small house construction project next door to me, to my house recently, to say that our lives hung in the balance on several occasions is not an overstatement. In addition to years of ongoing chronic noise in the neighborhood from construction, there was an epic gas leak, a sewer main break, no plumbing, health issues, hospitalization, rehabilitation, high blood pressure spikes for my elderly mother, which led to a stroke, which led to permanent blindness in one eye. Ask my mother, whose favorite pastime was drawing, reading, writing, sewing, what she thinks of too much construction.
Thank you so much, ma'am. We're just going to have to keep it moving on. Okay.
Thanks
so much.
Promise to keep this brief.
Absolutely.
I'm at 857 Washington Street. I'm the owner of J. Stevens Salon. I've been there for 20 years.
And your name, sir?
Jonathan Stevens.
Jonathan Stevens.
I'm here because I finally found a place and I'm going to be heading into West Newton, which I'm very glad that I'm going to be able to do that. But if it wasn't for the owners of this building and their cooperation, I wouldn't be able to do it the way this has happened. This group has been really good to me, and I think to most of the tenants in this building. My concern as a business owner is that Newtonville is already suffering. Austin Street is moving people out of downtown Newtonville. My neighborhood is going to be empty in no time at all, and these buildings are just going to be empty. This is an opportunity for business to take off. We're all waiting for something to happen. I've been waiting for 20 years. I'm surprised the buildings are still here now. They're not maintained. They're not in good shape. The parking is terrible. The ballet was going to move anyway. They're too big. They need a bigger space. And I'm just hoping that this council will seize an opportunity to work with this group and really make it much better for retail to come. When people come, we get to stay. But until that happens, we're all kind of sitting back and waiting, and I would love to benefit from the project. I want to say also I appreciate that people want to protest. I think it's important to protest and represent yourself. However, we are still in business. Please don't protest on my front doorstep. I had to ask people on several occasions to move, and please respect that. We are doing our best to help, be cooperative, but we're still trying to run our businesses. And I have to say that, Jeff, these guys have been terrific. And I hope you can work with them and get this done in a timely fashion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, with that, I think is there anybody else? One last 3-minute comment, okay? I'm sorry, we have to keep you to 3 minutes, and then we're going to move on to the developer's three-dimensional presentation.
It'll be a 30-second question.
That's great, thank you.
My name is Mari Wilson. I live at 30 Foster Street. I'm a butter. The question is, since we're going to be seeing this presentation
for the first time, will there be time for the public to comment or ask questions once we've seen the 3D presentation?
So that's a great question. I think that what we'll do is let's see the presentation first. You know, the public hearing is actually not going to be closed tonight.
Okay.
So we'll still be welcoming any comments through email or perhaps at our next meeting. So I'm not sure it'll happen tonight because we have a lot to do, but we do need to kind of balance the two parts of what we're trying to do here. So take some notes if you have some questions that come from that, and we'll try to make we'll certainly provide an opportunity for comments. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. So with that, thank you. Not the last chance. We were just allowing people to speak who had signed up at the last hearing and weren't heard. I believe you got a chance to speak. So, yeah. So, do we have? Oh, great. Do we need to dim the light? No, we're fine. Actually, you know what? Just before you start, Jake, do you want to just put your head out there and see if Mark is done so that he can see this? There he comes.
Oh, there he is.
We'll let him assume his spot. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the council and the committee. My name is David Roach. I'm with the petitioner, Mark Newtonville, LLC. We have submitted a 3D model. The 3D model is in is created in the SketchUp program, which it requires a special viewer, which you can download. This will all be posted to the city's website. For the purposes of taking you through the model, we've created a video. This video starts at the corner of Lowell and Foster. And it's a mapping model, so it's not a perfect representation of all these homes, but it's the same footprint, height, and mass. So don't focus too much on the details, like that's not the shape of my front porch, but it is the shape of the general mass of the house. What we see here as we start, on the right is 142 Lowell Ave, and then 40 and 34 Foster, and we will move our way down Foster towards Walnut Street. Sure, I'll take you back. I'll use the mouse to orient you. So what we see here, let me just go back. So right now we're at the corner of Lowell and Foster. This is 142 Lowell, 40 Foster, 34 Foster. So to the right, if you were to head down Lowell, that would take you to Washington. We're going to move east on Foster Street towards Walnut. We're looking towards the south, so towards the project. We'll maintain an orientation towards the project. And your eye level right now is at about 6 feet high, like a typical person would see. So Ms. Anantas asked the question about the landscaping. The larger trees you see represent the general mass of the trees. We're not inserting the exact trees that are out there today. It also includes the proposed landscaping along the rear of the property.
Unfortunately, I can't slow this for you down, but I can, you know, go back if there's something specific you want to see. Unfortunately, there's a certain library you have to work with, and I spoke with our designer about this, and so right here is the entrance to the residential that we just passed. And as we're coming up to these umbrellas, we'll take a turn into the pedestrian plaza. It went up a little bit for that angle. But generally, and it will go up again when we turn here, but you'll see why, and you'll see when. It's just to get over the trees and the umbrellas. Right through the pedestrian passageway. To the right would be where the elevator to the parking and community space is.
Thank you very much. Pardon? That's been posted already, has it not? A direction to get on there have been posted?
Has been posted and has been updated.
All right, we're going to go on to the board order. Councilor Auchincloss, I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is a question for the petitioner.
Go right ahead.
We have this 3D model from the perspective of the backyards of the Foster Street residence as opposed to from the street.
So the model, you know, you can see pretty much at any point. The challenge of doing the backyard views just from the 3D model without any Photoshop enhancement is just the accuracy of the landscaping if we're getting to that level of detail. So we've done in the past renderings of those, and we have those available if you'd like to see those. just individual shots.
We have the still shots, which we've already distributed, but not the model.
So the model includes that. We didn't take the video through there just because we were trying to show a different perspective. But the model, it's on the website, and you can. I'm not sure. I guess it's
very cool. Don't get me wrong, but I think you're leaving unanswered. I think one of the prime questions that counselors are going to have, as well as obviously the Foster Street residents, which is, what does it look like from their perspective?
So
I can't have a conversation unless somebody's at the podium because it's not recorded and we can't hear it. So if you want to,
I guess I'm just the model does. So you can actually go into the model and look at any angle and any view you would like. So we can include additional views. It's not impossible. The still view, the still shots we've done now are, show that backyard view. So I'm just not sure exactly what the additional information we're looking for is here.
I think the additional information would be that same perspective, but then not just on Foster Street, but behind the Foster Street residences.
Like in their backyards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can do that, yeah.
I can't have conversation at all that way.
I just follow up with an email that puts it in writing.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve Allen, PCA principal. Just want to explain what you just saw. Our firm created a 3D model of which created 3D images, 3D data that created these buildings. And we did that for the houses around and the prominent buildings here. And the what you're going to see on the website is if you download a free viewer, you'll be able to look in the model. You'll be able to see from anywhere that you want to see. So you can move to where you can see from the backyards of any of those places. You can see across the street. You can see anywhere because the viewer will allow you to do that. For tonight, the real question was, what did we think that the committee would best benefit from seeing? And the comments were from the neighbors as well. We want to see something, somebody walking down Foster Street. So that was what we gave there, as well as the views. So that's why you got a video. We could have done a lot of videos, and it would have taken a lot of time to do that. So I think that there's latitude if people don't think that they get what they need to see from the model. I'm sure we can come back to something.
Why don't we do this, Councilor Auchincloss? It's a very fair and frankly important point, because I think we're going to get asked that by our colleagues at full council. So we're coming back here on the 28th. If there's a particular view that you think would be helpful that's not been demonstrated this evening, and you can readily without great difficulty do that, and you can do that in a 2 or 3 minute video, that might be helpful. Would that be useful for you, Councilor Crosby?
Thank you. So I think I understand what you just said, but I want to say it back to you if I could. You're saying, I believe, that now that this stuff is downloaded onto our city website, that any one of us with no particular skill can go in and take a look at the model and move our cursor around and look at it from any angle we wish?
There are two steps.
Okay.
One is that because it's a model, it's used, Google used to own the software, so it was readily available. A company that has it still has a viewer. My 14-year-old at the time downloaded a viewer so he could look at different things that people were posting on websites. So it's a friendly kind of viewer. It's not like taking the video and pushing the button and letting it go. But it will allow somebody to move around the model with a little, lift the mouse with a little bit of moving with that, but it's not a very difficult proposition.
Okay.
For 14-year-old at least.
Right.
The 14-year-olds tend to be a lot better than us city councilors. I'll leave it at that.
Mr. Chair, can I make a suggestion? Because I did download the software and messed around with it, and I know I'm not a 14-year-old. So it was a little bit clunky, and it would be easier, I think, if you would be willing at our next meeting either to make another video of the backyard or to show us the software rather than having all of us download the software and play with it.
Now, why don't we do that? That's an excellent idea. And Councillor Albright, I think you may be one of the more technologically advanced members of the council. So if you're having a difficulty, I assure you I probably am.
I'm sure we can accommodate the request.
That'd be helpful. Okay. Anything else on the video? Yes, Councillor Albright.
This isn't on the video. Could I just make a comment about? We had one of the speakers spoke about the Newton Corner project, and it's probably more important that the full council hear this than this committee. But I was reminded today that was originally supposed to be a large residential project, and the council voted it down, and the developer billed what he could do by right. So the project that we see today was not the one that was brought before the council. So I think that's a forewarning to us about how we can control what we have on that site through this process.
Fair statement. I wasn't on the council when that was approved, so.
It would be useful to remind ourselves there were people in the city that were a part of that process and knew what happened when the council voted that project down. And we got a 100% commercial project instead of a residential project because the community objected to it.
But didn't it, Councilor Albright, wasn't that project greater than 20,000 square feet?
There wasn't that rule at the time.
Ah, okay. This project, of course, does have that rule. So any project over 20,000 square feet is going to have to get a special permit.
I'm not going to invoke the word, but there are other ways to do a project outside the special permit project.
We are aware of that possibility. How's that? However, I'm not going to go further. Let's leave it. All right. Let's go on if we could. I think we took up, last time, we took up 13, if I'm not mistaken. And now we're going to go to 14 in the findings, if that is good with everybody.
Can I just actually make one comment about finding 13?
Sure.
I've seen there was some discussion about office uses in the project, and we changed office to medical office space, so this would actually prohibit general office uses on the ground floor, but it would potentially allow for a medical office, like an urgent care.
Why would we think that's going to be, so I'm asking the council, why is that something that's going to enhance the streetscape?
You're asking me?
Sure.
So, typically they still have windows, there's a lot of in and out, and in a way where an office might close its blinds and not add anything to the streetscape, these typically do have more of a street state presence, more similar to retail than a general office.
I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels, but I don't view a medical office or some kind of urgent care facility as anything that's going to enhance a streetscape whatsoever.
Hmm. All right, I just wanted to bring that to your attention, though, that that's a change in the condition.
Well, let's try to take a Councillor Crosby.
Well, I think it depends. A few of us attended the opening of, I'm going to forget the name, but in Chestnut Hill, of an urgent care facility that has a very strong street presence. It's all glass. It has, the waiting room is out front and so forth. It's small, so I think scale matters. You know, you're not going to have something large where all the rooms are in the back and you funnel in through the door and it's dark. But I don't know how we qualify that here in the finding or conditions if we're talking about adding that use.
Well, let me just remind us that what we're doing, this is first of all finding, not a condition, and I think we have to be careful about the difference there, but remember, the developer would not be at a later date precluded from putting in a medical office space or other office space in the first floor. They just come back for a special permit for it.
what they're seeking here is by right ability to do things without any subsequent approval by the city council. So I think that's, to me, a very important distinction. Councilor Auchincloss, I apologize.
I think another argument for the medical office use
as enhancing the street scape is that it's inherently walkable, and that it, by mixing the uses, it increases the number of things that a Newtonville resident can do within walking distance. It's a service that is not otherwise provided within walking distance, and by providing that service, it makes the whole area more walkable. So even if it's by itself, it's not vibrant, it's still walkable.
Well, I guess right now we're on 13. Am I correct, Ms. Anand?
Yes.
So why don't we, can I leave it as a placeholder for now? Because I think really it's going to be a condition later on as to whether what we're going to do is a matter of right. That makes sense. And when we get to the conditions again, we can have a more robust discussion. I hear what Councillor Auchincloss and Councillor Clausley are saying. All right. Is there anything else on 13 that we need to deal with? Okay. So let's turn to 14, which is 14 in this draft.
So this is a finding that has to do with a building in excess of 20,000 square feet.
Am I, I may be working off it. I'm working off the draft that was prepared by Ms. Anand, and I'm just trying to make sure that we're on the same page. The discussion about the middle-income household units, where is that? That was on my 13.
So I'm looking at the clean version.
I'm sorry.
It's behind the red line version.
I thought it was in front.
Okay, it might be.
So I just want to, I apologize. I want to make sure we're all working on the same page. So where is the language on, maybe it's in the, I'm sorry, maybe I have it in the wrong place. Is it a condition? My fault, colleagues.
I'm sorry, what are you looking
for? I was probably looking at, you know, I think it was turning to the conditions by mistake. My fault. Okay. All right, let's go back. I apologize. Let's go back, if we could, to 14. All right, this is a finding that we need to make. Again, I'm going to ask that we not debate the question of whether we agree per se with this, but whether if you come to this conclusion, this is a valid finding. I think those are different standards. Won't we all read 14 to ourselves? And same comment with 15. Any comments on 14? Okay. Councilor Norton?
So I don't agree that it's compatible with the neighborhood context, and I don't agree with the part about 15 about creating shadows or blocking views. So does it have to be, can we remove those?
Well, I if we're trying to, you can vote against it if you disagree with the finding. I think at this juncture what we're trying to work on is cogent language that would be supportable in a board order for those who frankly favor the concept. Alright? It's not a condition, it's a finding, and I think what we're trying to do with the finding is provide justification for the potential to vote in favor of this project, since it's an affirmative board order rather than a negative board order.
Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, I just, but one could imagine voting in favor of the project even thinking that it's not compatible with the neighborhood context, that's all. I think that's hard to argue from my perspective, but okay.
Councilor Schwartz?
Sorry, I was called out, but I think just on that last point, the findings usually are here because they are necessary for us to do what we're trying to, if it's a positive vote. So, like, I think for the MU4, this is actually a required finding. Is that right? I'm looking at the planning department for that.
We do have to make a finding because they're requesting this waiver. this is one of those findings where there isn't specific language that we need to find. For example, in some things you need to make findings that are, you know, not detrimental.
Yeah.
There is no particular language that you have to use for this finding,
okay,
other than the size is appropriate.
So I guess, it's not to take too much time on it, but I think that Counselor, thank you. Norton. I was good on not Alderman, but I failed on the
I'd never call Counselor Norton an Alderman.
There you go. I think that her point is a good one, that if, let's say, she wants to vote for the project, but she's not happy with this language, if it's not required language...
We could take out compatible with the neighborhood context.
Okay. I mean, if we can take it out and we can do it, we should try to narrow our findings as much as possible, frankly.
Yep. Okay.
That was your point.
Okay. I think we can...
All right. Can I just... do I have consensus on that from colleagues? And enough of nods of heads. I neglected to introduce Scott Lennon, Counselor at Large from Ward 1, President of the City Council and a member of the committee. All right, going on to 15, please.
So this is a finding with regard to the height of the proposed structure.
And is this a required finding?
This is required.
All right. So I think there's going to be debate about whether it's compatible in visual scale to the rest of the commercial village center. And I take it the justification for that are two other buildings in Newtonville. One is a church and one is a Masonic building. Is that it?
Yes.
There's nothing else. Well, there's nothing else that's compatible, right?
I believe I took out references to any particular building.
Okay. Okay. Counselor Crosley?
So, at least in urban design, compatible is a broad concept, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you match something. It could mean that it's about how you scale and mass a building or building elements in order to fit within a particular context. So, not to belabor it, but I think the use of the word compatible is fine. Maybe you want to define more specifically what you mean in terms of the fact, for example, that where the mass is placed on the site, that it's addressing a large, you know, boundless highway, and that it steps down toward the neighboring buildings, that kind of thing. I don't think it's wrong. I mean, it's not technically wrong. You might disagree with it because, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder kind of thing, but it's not wrong.
I understand a very fair point that compatible does not mean identical.
Right.
And just you could have a village of all four-story buildings. You put a five-story building in there or even a six-story building, and it might be perfectly compatible given its context.
Right.
I think that's what you're driving at.
I am driving at that, and also I'm not, I'm not going to die on this mountain. It's not that. I'm just trying to come to terms with, well, how many findings do we have to make, and what's reasonable to do when, you know, we have a motion to approve is what put this before us.
I don't think we should belabor this. I think we have a finding here. It's going to be up to individuals whether they can agree with that finding or not. I appreciate, and I think when it comes time for a full floor debate, if there's an issue about that, it's a very fair point to raise. Unless folks think otherwise, I think Ms. Anand's drafting here makes sense, and that we do not want to start talking about all the detail specifics of
right.
it.
This language comes directly from the ordinance. It's a finding we have to make. And Rita noted that one thing we've heard is that the height is in keeping with the width of the street. So maybe I can add that in, and that might bolster it up for some
okay.
people.
And then the statement about shadows, and there's a comment on the side there.
Mm-hmm. So I pulled the shadow studies. They were submitted, and they are posted on the special permit webpage. They're with the option A and option B that the developer presented in November. So the shadow studies have been presented both here and are available online. And the sort of most significant shadow is in December during the midday period, and does show that there would be a shadow on the abutting property to the north on Walnut Street during this time of day. However, I also think it's important that we consider what a by right building shadow could cast, and that would be 4 feet in height, which is similar, and it could be 20 feet off of that property line, so potentially significantly closer than it is. So a by right building could cast...
A by right in the MU4?
No, in the business too.
But we're being asked to rezone
mm-hmm.
into an MU4,
mm-hmm.
and one of the criteria is that it does not affect its surroundings by creating shadows, but it creates shadows.
It creates a limited amount of shadows at a certain time of year, at a certain point in the day.
So, I'm just putting it out there. I mean, unless, I don't have the exact language of the ordinance in front of me, but it says that it does not adversely affect its surroundings by creating shadows or blocking views. But this project creates shadows.
It creates some, but only at certain times of the year. I mean, it would...
Well, but the ordinance doesn't limit us to certain times of the year. It says create shadows, and I'm struggling with that. But
Councilor Austin Clausen and Crosley.
I believe that any three-dimensional object is going to create shadows. So what is the actual standard here?
I don't think you're absolutely right. It would create shadows. I think the intent would, if you read that intent-wise, is creating shadows on other buildings. I mean, obviously, anything is going to create a shadow. I mean, it's silly to say not. But
well,
we can, you know, this is up for the will of the committee. Councilor Crosley?
I do think it's relevant what is allowed by right, because there's an intent there. I mean, there's going to be, if we rezone it, there's going to be an intent there. But even with the rezoning, which would allow a much higher building, you know, the design has stepped things back. That's the control we have in the special permit process. You can decide it's not enough. But I think the relative impact is important to understand. I don't know how many months ago it was, and I still have them in this pile, and we all have them. It's in this white book where we got extensive shadow studies, and you can see that it is only in the middle of winter that a shadow is cast on any property, and it's that particular one. So I think understanding the relative impact is important, and if you feel that there shouldn't be any casting of shadows on the adjacent property whatsoever, and I don't think that's the standard.
I think we ought to go back, and Ms. Young, do you have the statute? The ordinance. I mean, I think we ought to focus on what the language says.
It's exactly as Alexandra mentioned. It says that you would find that the proposed structure is compatible in visual scale to its surroundings, does not adversely affect its surroundings by casting shadows or blocking views, and advances the purposes of the district. You can disagree whether or not you find that adverse. But that's your point.
So just so we're clear, what you're saying is we're not saying whether it creates shadows or blocks views per se. Your interpretation would be, does it adversely affect its surroundings?
That's right.
By doing one of those two things.
That's right.
And that's the language we focus on. Okay. Councilor Auchincloss? All right. So, folks, are we having that language in front of us, are we comfortable with that as a finding? Whether or not you agree with the conclusion, that seems to be a fair and reasonable reading of the ordinance. Make sense? Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. Is that more accurate, frankly?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to achieve.
Okay. Can you do that?
Sure.
All right. So anything else on 15? All right, moving on to 16, please.
So 16 has to do with the portions of the building that are taller than 40 feet. This is, again, a required finding.
And this is a setback requirement for the building itself on Washington Street and Walnut Street?
Yes.
So it can be closer to the sidewalk than otherwise would be permitted? Is that accurate?
This waiver is for the portions of the building that are not setback 1 foot for every 1 foot in height over 40 feet.
Okay. What we're doing with this finding is allowing the building to be closer to Washington Street and closer to Walnut Street?
Yes, the portion that's over 50.
I understand not all of it is required. Does that make sense to everybody, Councilor Clarkley?
I just was going to propose to add a single word in front of massing, because they're talking about it's appropriate as a very 4 to 5 story height and predominant or primary massing on Washington Street.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What were the words predominant?
Predominant massing. Since it's you know, primarily on Washington Street that we have the large massing.
Okay. All right, can we also, yes, Councilor Schwartz, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, I didn't really notice that before, so I thought that we were stepping back above the fourth floor. So
certainly are some setbacks, but not all portions of the height step back the required amount. So it's a partial
even
waiver.
Even the because you have part of the it's the fourth floor. I mean, if you have three floors is 36, right? So fourth floor. If portions of the fourth floor are on, you know, directly abutting the street, I think that's what the problem is. Am I missing something?
How much are they picking up this way? I mean, why is it not possible to just step it back as the ordinance envisions? I mean, it's, what, about 5 feet that they'd have to come back? Or would it be more than that? I guess it's what you said, 1 foot per...
probably varies 5 to 8 feet, depending on whether you're on the fourth story or the fifth story. It is possible to... to step back, but again, the idea was to put the massing on Washington Street where it's appropriate given the width of the street.
So that's not in here, though. Maybe that should be in here as to the reason why we or whoever votes for this doesn't mind that it's on the street. That better, yes, it could be stepped back, but better to keep it closer to the highway.
Yep.
Is that not the reason?
I think that makes sense. Is that good with folks? Councilor Albright?
The other thing is that the Area Council plus the Urban Design Commission both wanted to make something out of that corner on Washington and Walnut, and that's where the fifth story is not stepped back at all.
With the kind of ornamental, and in fact, I think we actually as a committee encouraged that design, if I recollect correctly.
Right. So that maybe that should be in
there. Maybe
we
can put something about that in too. I think that'd be helpful. And I think there was consensus among everybody on the committee that piece of the design was actually a positive, regardless of what they thought about the project. Okay, can we go on to 17, please?
So this finding is related to the FAR. They're not seeking exceptions, but anything over a certain FAR requires a finding.
Okay. So they're not going to any maximum, and we're just saying that we think the FAR is appropriate for the site?
Right.
Okay.
And in fact,
comments
they're
on
within
that?
The FAR of the business, too, as well as the ME4.
Okay. All right. I think that's fine. Can we go to 18?
So this is the lot area per dwelling unit requirement that the petitioner is seeking a waiver. So this is where the ME4 district is the only district in Newton that allows for a waiver of the lot area per unit. The petitioner is seeking it. The typical requirement is 1,000 square feet of lot area per unit. They're seeking to go below that down to 775 to allow for more smaller units.
Okay. Comment on that? I mean, that's a central proposition of this change, is they want additional smaller units. Councillor Norton?
Is it required that we say that the that it doesn't adversely affect the traffic?
I don't think that it is.
Right out of the ordinance, Mr.
Waddick? Because otherwise I would have argued that one.
I mean, I think Councilor Norton, whether it adversely affects or not, similar to what Councilor Clausley said a while ago, is probably in the eye of the beholder.
Agreed, but if there was a chance to soften that language, then I would have argued to do that, but if it's not possible.
I think we need to track it in order to make the finding. Okay, next, please. So we're now at 19.
This is with regard to waivers from the front setback requirements, which are allowable in this zone. And we found that it supports the pedestrian vitality to have the building close to the front setback.
Okay, again, it's beneficial to be closer to Walnut and Washington Street. Is that the bottom line?
Yes.
Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
I understand the urban planning reason for that, but I'm just wondering why was MU4 didn't take that into account when it was passed? I mean, it seems like we're always hearing this, that we should put the buildings closer to the street so that it revitalizes the the pedestrian experience. Were there some setbacks that were required in MU4 that we have to waive? It just seems backwards, but right? MU4 is supposed to be protected.
Do you want to add something for us?
What is the current setback requirement in MU4?
Comes right out of the section of the ordinance that's quoted here.
I'm sorry, MU4 does not require a setback? What? How much?
Pardon?
Oh, right. Sorry. It requires a setback of 10 feet.
10 feet.
Yeah. And I do not know why it was written that way.
Okay. All right. It's just maybe.
We
haven't got a chance to talk about this, so I admit, I guess.
I think it's a very fair question. And it's a new ordinance, if the goal is to encourage streetscape design, why would the ordinance require a setback? Councilor Albright, maybe you can shed some light on this.
Let's say there's a restaurant there. You want to have room to put out tables and still have people pass by, so that it makes it a lively streetscape. And you couldn't do it with a short, narrow sidewalk. You needed a larger sidewalk to do the streetscape, the pedestrians going by, with things happening outside.
So does the sidewalk then allow for that here?
Well, it's 10 feet in some places. I think it narrows sometimes. Maybe Alexandra, you can tell us.
I think the sidewalks really never drop below 15 feet in width. They're very generous along.
So why are we waiving it?
So enough to put outdoor seating along Washington Walnut?
If they want it, there is enough room, yes.
That's not because the setback is present. I mean, that's without the setback. That's up to the edge, right? The building is without the setback.
Right.
So why the sidewalks are much wider here, but much of the sidewalk is public?
Part of the sidewalk is public land, but part of the sidewalk is also on the petitioner's site. They've pushed their building back to allow for extra wide sidewalks.
But if they're pushing the building back, why are we making...
And that's why we're giving them a waiver from the front setback requirement, so that they can go back farther.
Do you mean we're allowing them to be further than 10 feet back from the line? I thought it was closer than 10 feet.
Let's just make sure we understand what the requirement is, folks. At least I'm confused, but maybe no one else is. So what's the requirement for the setback? And this is difficult stuff, so we are very appreciative of what Ms. Anant and Ms. Young are trying to help us.
0 and 10? Yeah. It's required that it's 10 feet? Yeah, it's 10 feet back. I guess our interpretation is that it requires a 10-foot setback, and they are seeking a waiver.
And the current plans have a 0-foot setback or a 5-foot setback or something less than 10 but not 0? Is that why there's room for tables?
You know, let's do this, folks. In fairness, we're putting you on the spot on something that may not be exactly crystal clear in our ordinance. So why don't we table this one,
make sure we get it right,
have an opportunity for Ms. Young and Mr. Waddock to weigh in, and we'll get it right. But Councilor Schwartz, thanks for bringing it to our attention, because it is helpful. Okay, let's go on, please. The next is the waiver of the requirement for an entrance every 50 feet. Why is that something that we're waiving here? If you could remind us.
So some of the commercial spaces, in the absence of knowing who their tenants are, they have reserved their corner tenants to have somewhat large spaces. I think commercial space number one is about 13,000 square feet. That takes up a fair number of sidewalk width, such that in that case there may not be an entrance every 50 feet.
What's the rationale in the ordinance for having an entrance every 50 feet?
Why the idea is, I think, on average, to add more vitality and entrances to the building. And this building, for the most part, does meet that requirement, except for its corner tenants. It seemed appropriate to me. It wasn't something I...
Or can we waive the requirement for just a portion of the building rather than all the building? I mean, again, we're writing a board order that's going to be around for a long time, and I understand that for certain tenants it may make sense, but I'm not sure we want to waive it entirely. Go ahead, Councilor Cody.
So, thanks, Mr. Chair. So, following what you're saying on that, does this make this permanent? Like, if we waive this, like, could we end up with a facade that's like 150 feet long with no entrances? You know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a permanent wavering, so that's our question. Do we waive it? Do we make the finding? Do we waive it permanently? Do we waive it for just part of the building? I understand the rationale. Someone else want to jump in? Ms. Anand, do you want more time to work this one through as well? Would that be helpful?
I mean, I don't think I need more time. I mean, they're really looking for flexibility. They don't know if they're going to have 13 tenants or 8 tenants.
I know what they're looking for. I appreciate what they're looking for, but our job is not necessarily to accommodate what they're looking for. Hmm. Our job is to promote a good streetscape. Okay. So my view is, from a professional development point of view, at certain places it may be appropriate to allow a blanket waiver, but I would be reluctant to allow them just carte blanche here.
The way I looked at it was they were originally looking for a waiver from the transparency requirements as well, and to me that was a deal breaker. And I said, you know, you drop that request, I'm more willing to be flexible in the number of
waivers. How about we control, and so we don't have either waiver? I mean, I don't mean disrespect, but I think it's our judgment as a board. It's not what the developer says it wants to do that has to control here. So, Councilor Schwartz.
I'm just wondering if a solution to this might be...
is what they're seeking.
I'm just wondering if a solution to this might be, I mean, whether, I don't know whether it's considered bad form, but I certainly have seen streetscapes where there are, you know, and even restaurants that have like a door that's closed that's not actually being used in that current setup because it's a big restaurant, but if there's still a door there just so that if I guess the space is subdivided in some future entity, the entrance is still there. I mean, is that not considered good form?
I don't know. In my mind, I wasn't concerned about this waiver. I think fake doors can sort of...
Real doors that just aren't being used. Mm-hmm. But
it affects the interior layout that a tenant may be wanting. So
is it not also some kind of...
Don't grant the waiver.
I think what we're hearing, if I could, is that we understand why a waiver in certain portions of the site might be very desirable from the city's interest. I don't care, no offense, but I don't care about the developer's interest about this. I care about our interest in lively streetscape. So that's where we need some help and professional judgment on your part and Mr. Heath's part as to what is going to best enhance the streetscape.
Yeah.
Pardon? I don't know what the fire codes involve, but I don't think we can violate that.
I think another thing to keep in mind is most of these retail spaces are double loaded, so they open on the back as well as the front, and that already is a lot of doors for tenants to look at controlling. So I was comfortable with this waiver, and we can continue to talk about it.
I want to see my comments. Councilor Auchincloss, I saw your hand up.
I find it edifying to hear from the petitioner why they want the waiver in the first place.
If Mr. Bookbinder or someone else, Mr. Corp, if you want to comment.
Good evening. Robert Corp for the petitioner. I think, Alexander, you hit it point on. If you look at the configuration of the retail on the ground floor, either the retailer is going to be facing the parking field on one side or the plaza. So this is set up so each retailer is going to have a door in the front, on the streetscape, and another one servicing the parking field. And I think that's the way you want to design it. If you require the every 50 feet, if you look at the space planning, and we don't know yet exactly, you know, the sizes of these, excuse me, of the tenants, you know, we're going to be forced in situations where, you know, we'd have to have three entries for one retailer. You just can't lose it.
So how do we accommodate, I'm going to ask the plan department, how do we accommodate a legitimate business concern that you've expressed with our stated desire to have a vibrant streetscape on Washington Street and Walnut Street? And the answer to me is not just grant the waiver, let them do what they want, and trust that they do it properly. You may not be the owner of the building in 5 years.
Each retailer would be required to have two entryways. That's what you're trying to encourage here, is the activation of this site. I mean, do we really want, you know, two doors out on Walnut Street with nothing off the plaza? I mean, that's just one example I could give you. There's a million hypotheticals that I could create in the space planning of the retail that it would be crazy. It's ridiculous.
Can I suggest a compromise, potentially?
Well, go ahead.
So one option would be to say the anchor tenants in space 1 and 8, which are the larger retail spaces, are allowed this waiver, but the rest of the...
But Alexander, we don't know what the configuration is going to be in the future. You might have, I mean, conceivably you might find one tenant there that has a huge store, right? I mean, if the barn is one of your tenants and they're phenomenally successful, you might put them in the vast bulk of the space.
I mean, there could be a situation, honestly. I sat with Alexander over the plan, and this is what convinced her, I thought, that the waiver was appropriate. We could be in a situation where I lose an amazing tenant because I'm 2 feet off. He's going to have another door, and he needs the space.
Well, all you'd have to do then is come in for a special permit, which if you had a...
Okay.
If you had a, and you're quite competent counsel, I'm sure would get you through very quickly if need be, if there was a reason for it. I mean, that's what we're struggling with here, Ms. Carr.
Okay. Two doorways per retailer, I mean, that's going to lock you in to a point where you're going to have the entryway spaced out enough.
Let me just pose a question to the committee and the staff. How do we try to balance out the legitimate business needs that Mr. Corp has identified? It makes sense. You don't want to constrain this so it doesn't work for you or for the public with the desire of what the MU4 district is, which has a certain vision as to what streetscape is supposed to look like. And how do we do that without just granting a wholesale waiver?
So I was going to suggest that one way to do it would be to grant a waiver and then require that the petitioner consult with the Planning and Development Department to ensure that there will still be an active presence, even if there isn't a door every 50 feet.
Mr. Chair, could we put in there, rather than a waiver, could we, this may not be comfortable for the petitioner, but that they do, either requiring a consultation with the planning director or a consistency ruling with the council.
Well, here's my problem with consistency rulings. We've had some experiences with those, and they don't necessarily go very well, and there's a lot of discretion then left. And frankly, I don't think it belongs in inspectional services to be deciding whether it's a good idea from a business perspective to allow fewer or more doors.
So then let the Indian consultation with the Director of Planning and Development.
Urban Design Commission.
I think the grants are over. To be candid with you, the number of things in this project that I think merit serious scrutiny, to me this is not one of them. I have a lot of confidence in what the streetscape would look like under this project, and I don't think this would be detrimental to it.
Councilor Schwartz.
Reminding myself that we're in the findings. So, you know what, the conditions might be where we say something like, you know, in light of the waiver, the 50 every 50 feet. I mean, what are we concerned about here? I mean, I'm not even sure, but my guess is that you don't want a street that's basically one door and then 250 feet later, the second door. I mean, that's not good, probably. Maybe it is. But from an urban design, I think that what the MU4 was shooting for to have more of an activated pedestrian experience where people are actually going in and out. So maybe 50, we can say, in the conditions is waived, but whatever, no more than 100 on Washington and no more than 200 or 75 on Walnut.
I think that's an excellent idea. We are in a very fair point. We are in the conditions. So why don't we leave the condition as is for the moment? But well, I'm sorry, the finding, okay. Forgive me, the finding, thank you, Councilor Auchincloss. When we get to the conditions, though, and we may not get there this evening, I think we really need some thought from the planning department as to what you think makes for a viable streetscape, given the very legitimate statement of Mr. Corp that this is not your typical retail and that it's got front and back active entrances, and how do you couple those needs, but how do we craft it in a board order that I personally would prefer it not go back to the planning department. I think we are far better off with petitioners just knowing what the rules are. That's my personal view.
And I happen to think Councillor Schwartz's suggestion or some variation of it is a great idea. I would recommend that Alexandra or I sit down with the planning department between now and next meeting. Maybe come up with an appropriate distance for Walnut and Washington that kind of works within the scheme and the reality of this particular project.
And I suggest it be for what your needs are, but whatever we do, keeps in mind that you may not be the owner in 5 years, and we're still going to have a board order, and we need to ensure that successor owners have the same vision you might.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thanks.
All set, folks? Let's go on, please.
Okay, condition 21 is quite long. It has a number of pieces to it. These are all the findings that need to be made for waivers to the parking requirements.
Okay. We're waiving a series of parking requirements, including reducing the number of stalls within 5 feet of, and the residential structure we're referring to, of course, is this building, not the neighbor's buildings.
Correct.
And a series of other dimensional requirements. So with that in mind,
talk you through A, which is the waiver.
Could you just go to the next page so we can scroll down?
So A basically allows the council to reduce the parking requirement for the residential units to 1.25 stalls per unit. It grants a 1/3 reduction of the parking requirements for the commercial tenants, and then it waives 97 stalls on top of that. So it basically sets the parameter and that all of their uses cannot exceed these stated waivers.
So, comments here? Councilor Schwartz?
Just robust. Jumped out at me when I was reading this earlier. It's a kind of subjective term. I mean, perhaps
I can take that out.
The fact that there's a transportation plan should be enough.
Yep.
And I would take out the word small and rather just stick with what the size is. on the first full, second full sentence on page 7.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Rather than likely, can we say is more likely?
Mm-hmm.
More likely than not? How's that? I mean, that's probably, I can live with either one personally. I think I'm being a little bit picky here. Alright, everything, and we're getting rid of the word robust. Anything else here? Okay, let's go on to B.
So this talks about decoupling the rent for the parking stalls with the rent of the residential units. And the idea is to encourage...
Arkansas?
Transit uses.
So a scribbler's note. Reduced car ownership and parking demand while increasing transit usage reads more clearly. This way it looks, it's weird to have a comma between ownership and parking.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Good catch. Anything else? Okay, let's go on to C.
So this just finds that the uses will be complementary and allows for the parking waivers.
Okay. Let's go to D.
C is for the setbacks within 5 feet of a residential structure, meaning this building.
Mr. Chair, just on C, can we go back for 1 second?
Sure.
Scroll up.
Yeah.
So that the last part of the second sentence, accordingly, the council concludes that the number of parking stalls required by the zoning ordinance would be more than necessary to meet the realistic parking demand. Is that necessary to say?
It's not exactly necessary, no.
I'm not sure.
But we can drop the second sentence if you're not comfortable with it.
I don't know. I just leave that open to my colleagues.
Well, drop the second sentence of C.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because that's otherwise the inclusionary units are not helping with the parking issue. But the non-inclusionary units are. I agree, I would drop that sentence.
No, I mean it's C. I think you're looking
at it.
I think accordingly.
I have to drop D, but.
Accordingly, the council concludes that the number of parking stalls required by zoning ordinance would be more than necessary to meet the real estate.
Yeah, I think I would drop that. Pardon? Council?
I mean,
agreed? Okay. Frankly, I dropped the second sentence of B too, but I can live with that. Okay, let's go on to E, please.
So this is for the reduced parking stall size. They're looking for that to allow for the overhang, the 2-foot bumper overhang.
Remind us approximately how many of these spaces are reduced size.
I'd have to ask the petitioner. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I just want to get it. Do you have a rough estimate? I want to see.
It's just the length, 9 by 18 rather than 9 by 19.
And Attorney Buchbinder at the microphone, please. How many of the spaces are 9 by 18 versus 9 by 19?
They
all are. Okay, yeah. Mr. Chairman, they are all 9 by 18, both above ground and inside the ground.
So width-wise, which tends to be the more problematic issue, they're at 9 feet, but it's just the length-wise it's shorter?
That's correct.
Okay. And, fine. Okay. Do we want to say something about the reduced length?
Sure.
Of the parking stalls, is not reducing the width, and I actually think that's something that creates concern at times for folks. Okay. And when you say larger stalls will be available, is that in fact true? I thought they're all 9 by 18.
You might have me there.
I think those only relate to the handicapped stalls.
All right. Fine. So we should take the larger stalls out. Do we need to say the turning template demonstrated?
We do not.
I think we should say just the finding. Okay. Going on to F, please.
This is just noting that they will have zip cars and electric charging stations.
Why will the charging stations for electric vehicles reduce parking needs?
It has nothing to do with reducing the parking need. It's just sort of a finding that they are offering this.
I would. It seems to me zip car is a reason to reduce parking, as is bicycle stalls, as they encourage both alternative forms of transit, but I don't think electric vehicles is relevant here.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a question?
Sure.
It was asked to me by a constituent, why only two zip cars? I guess it's a question for the petitioner. If it becomes popular, would you be able to do more than two?
We've actually put in a request for more zip cars, so it's actually determined by the provider themselves based on the perceived demand. So we're hoping that we'll be able to do more than two. So that is our intent. And so, yes, we would add more if allowable.
If you have more zip cars, though, are you decreasing the number of available parking spaces otherwise, or is the zip car total included in that?
They are included in the total.
Okay. So maybe we need to be explicit in the conditions.
Yeah.
Because it's a good point. If we really are going to get a lot of zip car other usage, we actually would want to encourage that, seems to me. So when we get to the conditions, we can add that. Councilor Norton?
I'd like to know how many electric vehicle charging stations.
We're going to take it out of this finding, though.
We're taking that out.
It has nothing to do with parking.
Oh, is it going to be somewhere else?
Might, yes.
Okay.
But not with parking. Okay, let's go on to G.
So this is a waiver for the interior landscape screening requirements. This really had to do with, so this is a required finding for the waiver, and it has to do with efficient layout and maximizing the number of parking stalls available in the perimeter lot, in the interior lot, sorry.
Okay. And that's just so we don't spend a lot of valuable space on doing some...
Right. It allows them to focus their screening on the perimeter as well.
Any questions on that? All right, the H is the waiver for off-street loading facilities. I would personally take out the turning template to illustrate.
Okay.
We haven't discussed the loading zones here at all yet. Are we comfortable that they're adequate?
I think so.
No. I said we haven't discussed the loading zones at all yet. And I'm not expecting there's a concern, but in your opinion, you're comfortable with what they've offered?
I don't have any concerns.
Okay. And we're going to be able to load in the back as opposed to on Washington Street or Walnut Street?
The loading docks are in the back.
And we'll expect delivery vehicles to come to the back rather than be in the front? Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
I'm sorry, I keep asking this question, but that's a waiver from MU4 that required loading facilities to be on the street?
No. I think it's just that they have a number of loading.
They have a certain minimum number of loading facilities that would be required, and we're waiving the number, I think.
It's a minimum number? Because it seems to
so
talk about the waiver
for
off-street.
So this has nothing to do with the MU4 zone. It's from the section on the parking only.
Okay, so an off-street is really not the waiver part. It's the number that's the waiver part, or is it?
You're actually correct. Although, I don't know. The language might...
Do you want to say something?
Yeah. This seems funny that we would...
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, if you go ahead and look at finding number 25, it references both on-street and off-street loading facilities. So this waiver in paragraph 21 is related to those that are on site. We have carved out two areas, one on Walnut Street and one on Washington Street, for smaller deliveries that would be done off the street. But those would not be larger vehicles. They would be in and out type of things. and then larger.
Are they parking spaces on Washington and Walnut for deliveries?
No, we've carved out, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, we've carved out a drop-off pickup zone, one on Walnut Street, one on Washington Street. Steve, how
I think they're in front of the residential entrances.
Pardon?
They're in front of the residential entrances.
So 40 feet in
line. So a Federal Express vehicle can pull in there, our traffic, stop,
double park. Right. That's why we created these zones, because no matter what else we did or said, we know that the FedEx guy, he's not going to go to the back. He's going to pull up on the street. So we have a spot for them to do that.
So in front of the buildings at those two locations, there's no parking.
Right.
There's a drop-off zone, whether it's for FedEx or somebody who's helping a handicapped resident out or something like that.
Exactly correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. So we'll get to that in the findings. Yes, Councilor Schwartz and Auchincloss.
So I'm sorry, just to clarify, what are we waiving then? Is it the number of these
loadings? It's the number of off-street loading facilities.
So it's required to have a certain number. We're saying it's okay to have fewer.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because the building can be serviced by larger vehicles. I'm not quite sure I understand that.
It probably should have said, and the building can be serviced, but... We could just end it at the waiver for off-street loading facilities is justified as loading appears sufficient.
You're saying that on-street loading...
Well, we're dealing with off-street.
About on-street loading. It's just a waiver from the off-street loading.
You know what, Ms. Anand? I don't want to get stuck on this.
Because of the on-street, additional on-street loading?
Okay. That's what I wasn't clear about, what we were waiving. Okay.
Yeah. Councilor Auchincloss?
I apologize. Can we go back to G for a second?
To G? Sure.
Because I don't think I realized that we were waiving interior lot landscaping. Are we just going to have a barren parking lot then?
No, their site plan does show some interior landscaping.
But they're not doing a tree as frequently as they should, basically?
Correct. They're not meeting the requirement.
And why are we okay with that?
Because the solar panels.
I mean, that to me sounds like, I mean, you could make that case everywhere. Yeah, I want more parking. Well, okay, but I want more trees.
So, Ms. Corp, did you want to say something to that?
So, Councilor Auchincloss, it was really a design consideration here, and oftentimes when you're designing these projects, there are certain trade-offs, and we felt that to meet the strict requirements of the interior landscaping would have compromised the sidewalks out front. So it allowed us, to create more sidewalk area, in essence, than it would have otherwise. We met the requirement. We would have these long, lineal islands that would have increased the entire parking area, and we would have had to move the building further to the front. Remember, we gave up space on Walnut off our site to create larger sidewalks. I hate to give up valuable land area to landscape a parking lot. And it's not balanced. I mean, there is landscaping there. This is a waiver, to a degree.
I'm going to suggest that we... go ahead, Councilor Auchincloss.
I think it would be helpful for me to see what it would look like by right, or not by right, but what it would look like without and with the waiver.
What I was going to suggest is we leave the waiver, we put it in here as a finding, but when we get to the conditions, I think we need to see exactly what's being waived and why.
Or what's being proposed.
Your financial decision about where you want to put the building, how big it is, and whether you put screening in a parking lot or not. But I think we need to understand what we're giving up here and the benefit for it.
I'll go back and design it, but I can tell you with some pretty strong confidence that this will just come down to an analysis of, do we want wider sidewalks to encourage the pedestrian activation, or do we want to landscape a parking lot? I mean, if you like, I'll do the design.
with all respect, you can do both. It just means you have a bit of a different project.
Well, the sidewalks were not a requirement, so it was a trade-off of one requirement for a give-back. I wish I could give everything. You know, I would have been home.
No petitioner in front of us ever has given everything that we've asked for.
You certainly try. But
that's our job.
I know it is, and you do a real good job. And,
I'll take that as a compliment. Councilor Schwartz?
I was just going to second your concept of we'll leave this in the findings, but when it comes to conditions, we'll see what the plan actually shows, and we'll be referring to the site plan. So if that's something that people support, that'll be what we're voting on.
I think that's right. I don't mean to be facetious or impolite whatsoever. These are valid considerations, and I think Councilor Schwartz, your point is exactly right. Let's see what's being proposed, because there probably are valid and appropriate reasons to waive it, but we need to see what's going to be in its place before we just grant a blanket waiver of the requirements. Okay, for H, will you try to provide us the next time some more information on that? I still am struggling with what we're waiving exactly.
Okay.
Can we move on, please?
So I allowed for reduced parking lot lighting. We submitted a photometric plan, and although the lot is fairly well lit, we always support a waiver from the 1-foot candle requirement so that the lot is not overlit.
Okay. And the waivers for curbing, again, these are findings. Are we going to have more in the conditions as to exactly what we're waiving?
In this case, I have not put anything in there.
Well, shouldn't we? I mean, are there going to be any requirements at all for curbing, wheel stops, guardrails, and bollards, or are we just saying you can do whatever you want?
Well, it's what the site plan shows. They're bound to the site plan.
Well, maybe you can then next time take us through what the site plan proposes so we understand what finding we're making.
Sure.
It's probably fine, but as I sit here now, I can't understand without someone walking me through it, why we're waiving the curbing and what we're waiving.
Yeah, maybe the petitioner should, show this site plan again next week. And
so it's kind of book finds. And it's not a quarrel with the request, but I think I need to understand what it is we're making the finding for. So we go to the full council, we can say, this is why we made the finding, this is what's shown in the site plan, here's where it is. Okay? All right, next, please.
So number 22 is for signage. We have submitted some sign bans, and all signage will have to get reviewed by the Urban Design Commission, but they are seeking some general waivers.
And again, could perhaps you walk us through, I think more briefly, because the Urban Design Commission is going to be reviewing this, there may be some indication of what exactly we're finding a waiver of.
Sure. Does
that work for everybody? I don't want to belabor the findings. I mean, it's a fair finding, but I think we need to at least understand it. Councilor Yates? Do they approve?
They actually just make recommendations to the Commissioner of Inspectional Services.
Okay, so the commissioner makes the final determination. Okay. The recommendation of the Urban Design Commission, I hope.
And the planning department.
I think they use their expertise as folks who are familiar with good urban design to try to focus on that. I mean, I think that's why we have an Urban Design Commission, just like we have some other commissions with particular expertise. I for one don't think that's something that a city council is well versed in. I take it back. I know Councilor Crosley could, but I certainly couldn't. Let's leave it at that. All right. Can we move on, please?
Sure. So the next group of findings are the findings that are required for the site plan approval.
And we're in 23 now?
23, yep.
Okay.
So this is safety of vehicles and pedestrians in relation to the street.
adjacent properties.
Could we take something a little different rather than design the pedestrian safety and to help your sight lines in mind, say, the two-axis driveways include stop signs, open views, low planters, and wide sidewalks, located as far away as practical, all of which should, you know, help improve or make appropriate safety, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I think just switching the order may be helpful. Okay. Other comments on, and you don't need an A if you're only going to have 23, so you could probably put it all together.
Okay.
Okay. 24. Officer Crosley, do you want to advise us on 24? Stewart is your bailiwick on this council. All right. You're our expert. Since Councilor Fuller's not here, we only have you to rely upon. Okay. And the contribution is clear. Okay, that's the 8-to-1 ratio. Okay. Do we want to mention that or not?
It's in the condition.
Okay, fine. And then that's a finding that the off-street and on-street loading facilities are sufficient.
Yep. You have to make the finding again.
Okay.
Generally.
Well, understood. Okay. 26 is just, again, we'll have to go over the landscape plan, which we haven't really done in much, did somewhat, but not in enough detail. All right. Anything else? Go on. Councilor Crosley, I'm sorry.
Well, I just had a thought when I read number 27 because it says...
We're not there. We're just scrolling down now there. So
I thought you were into that landscaping.
No. Let's just stop here for a second. Yeah, I don't understand the unnecessary topographical changes here. Pardon? We need to find that the project avoids unnecessary topographical changes. Okay. So where's, I'm sorry, Councilor Crosley, do you want to add? I'll let you go.
I was on number 27. Where are you?
We are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I got confused before, so.
Okay, so it says proposed landscaping will enhance the site and streetscape in keeping with the appearance of neighboring developed areas. I was just looking, and I'm sorry, I didn't find it quickly enough. Is that wording that we have to have? Because
there aren't very many sentences.
I'm sorry?
You can drop the
sentence. I would drop the second sentence.
Oh, okay. Because I just thought, well, neighboring developed areas aren't particularly something we want to be in keeping with necessarily.
Well, I think that...
Now, which direction you're
right,
looking
that's
in.
Right, we probably do not want to be looking at the building that's just been demolished or
destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or might be. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on number 26, before we leave it...
Sure.
There'll be a condition about that, right? Because we really need to look at
the... Oh, yeah, we absolutely will have a condition
okay.
on that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so 28, utility services undergrounded... 29.
This is another required finding. The site design and massing is appropriate for the neighborhood context.
So I get the first sentence. Is the second sentence a finding that was necessary as well?
I think I was trying to justify the first sentence.
I would personally take, I mean, I think any justifications I think we should just try to take out, unless folks feel otherwise. Colleagues? Yes, no, you're sleepy. Councilor Harney's coffee's kicked in.
Could Alexandra...
Come on, Councilor. Any questions for anybody?
Okay. Alexandra, is that standard practice to have justifications or no?
I always think it helps that you justify the findings, so you do not have to.
Councilor Schwartz?
I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to justify. I just, I didn't quite fully understand it. It's such a compound sentence. I apologize. But it's the massing is appropriate, A, in the context of the neighborhood, and will serve to connect the site to the village. Is the massing that connects the site to the village? By interconnected buildings with an active pedestrian streetscape. So when you say connect to the village, we're talking about just...
I was thinking about the tower element, the pedestrian improvements at the intersection.
You're talking about the village on the other side of the pike?
Yes.
Okay.
Why don't we...
So...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, for CMU4, it has to be part of the commercial village anyway, right? So maybe improve connections to the south side of... I mean, we should be more specific, don't you think? I mean, what do we mean here? Is it that it's... The massing doesn't quite connect it, but... And the interconnected buildings don't quite connect it with the south side. It's more the... Isn't it the pedestrian improvement on the bridge and
Can I suggest something?
So I just want to be clear what we're saying here, yeah.
It ought to be written as the council finds that parens A, close parens, the proposed site design and massing is appropriate in the context of the neighborhood, semicolon B, and go on and list those items, you know, seriatim as it were. So we are very clear what we're saying, and then interlink what you have in sentence number 2 with those findings in the first sentence, if you can do that. I think it's just going to be cleaner, and we'll address what Councilor Schwartz is driving at, I think. Does that make sense, Councilor Schwartz?
Okay.
Okay. I think, Ms. Anand, we don't want to wordsmith it at this moment. I think you'll need a little bit of time with Mr. Yes. Heath and Mr. Waddick and Ms. Young.
No problem.
Okay. So 30 is a required finding as well?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I didn't understand what are not original, sort of original to what.
I mean, you could have an 1830 colonial house and 1850 addition. It's not original, but it's probably historic.
Well, it says here that many of the existing buildings on the site have been significantly altered. Do you mean that they're more recent? I'm not sure what we mean here.
So the finding is the avoidance of the removal or disruption of historic resources on or off-site. Historical resources include designated historical structures or sites, historical architectural elements, or archaeological sites. So I'm saying that they are... existing building.
Not those things. But it doesn't say, so are not original, the phrase are not original, the buildings are not original.
Hmm.
I think you could use perhaps some of the language in what you just read as opposed to that phrase.
Okay. I can say they are not, I was just trying to carefully word it. I will look at
not
that.
Not consistent okay. with what are designated as historic resources by the whomever.
Why don't we do this? Let Josh folks get an opportunity to look at it, but I think I understand at least the top of the cause of what you're driving at, and I think they do. Okay. 31, is that highlighted for a reason, or?
I thought it might need some more thought than what I have down. So, I'm open to suggestions.
Why not the council finds that the approximately 2,000 square feet of accessible community space will be a public benefit to the residents of the project and the broader Newville community. I'm not sure that a community space that's good for the residents is really
what we're driving at. I think it really will be a benefit to the city of, residents of the city of Newton. I mean, if it's truly, if it's the art space, for example, that's something that's beneficial to all.
Sure.
That work, folks? Okay. All right, then there, then 32 is just the stuff we have to find out.
Yep.
All right, so we have an option here. We can go back to the earlier findings that have been revised and walk through them, or we can go on to the conditions and try to walk through what we've talked about before. What's the will of the committee? We can either go back and we finish the first part of what we've not touched before. There have been revisions to the findings, or the revisions to the first 12 or 13, I'm sorry, first 12 or 13 findings, there have been revisions to the conditions. And my question for us is, do we go back and start with the beginning findings and see what the work is there, or is it more important to go to the conditions? My personal preference is to go to the conditions. Because I think the findings for the most part are wordsmithing, but the conditions are really the meat of what we're demanding of the petitioner, and I think, frankly, that's where we may not have had some full discussions yet. Is that okay?
And then we can go back and review all the findings.
We're going to have to go back on the 28th and review the entire document, but I think probably most important for us to provide input on the conditions now. Does that make sense to you? You're the draft person. Okay. All right, so let's go to the conditions if we could, please. Maybe we ought to, should we be working off, well, we all have a red line version as well, correct?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask, do we have the plans with us tonight? Like this first one references Schedule B, and I think we're going to need to look at it.
I think your Councillor Albright, your inquiry is we really need to make sure we understand the plans fully before we say, sure, go ahead. So, do we have all the plans available for us to look at in a cogent manner this evening or not? And if not,
so
that's fine. Just tell us.
I have them. I don't have them capable of projecting, but they are in the book.
Are they capable of being projected readily, not tonight, but on the 28th?
Yes.
Councillor Albright, would you be okay if we at least defer this for the moment? Let's see how far we get with the other conditions, understanding we need to come back to this?
Sure, but whenever we get one of these conditions that refers to the plans, we're going to have to come back
I think
it.
We're going to have to make a note of that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're obviously going to have to go to the conditions. Let's go to the second one, please.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz.
Right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we went through the conditions before the findings, right?
We did.
Okay.
At what point, I mean, obviously we're going to have to go through them again, and perhaps it's the right point, but at what point do you want to talk about the zone change, this policy discussion that we haven't had yet?
We can talk about it any time the committee wishes. I think I prefer to get as much guidance to the planning department and the legal department as possible tonight, and then have our discussion next time. I think we need to have a board order, is the bottom line.
I know that we've been putting that off, and I think that that's important for all of us and obviously the public and the petitioner, to be honest, to hear what we're thinking about that, just it might affect what they do.
Colleague, I'll defer to your will. What's your sense here? Do you want to push ahead with the conditions tonight and start afresh with the zone change discussion on the 28th, or do you want to open it up for discussion now?
I think the zoning change discussion should precede the conditions.
Okay. Others? Strong feelings. I mean, I'm Councillor Crawford. Pardon?
We're missing some data. So
on
the conditions, and we've already been through them loosely before, so I agree.
All right, I'm fine. Councilor Yates?
In the middle stipulation of what you're doing, do you need to make a specific reference to the retail of less than 5,000 square feet, the personal service of less than 5,000 square feet? And what was the resolution on street-level office? That seems to go against the theory of the lively streetscape.
I think we deferred that discussion until we had discussion on the conditions, because that was something we were going to deal with in the conditions. I'm not sure I understood your first question, however.
It specified the retail of more than 5,000, the personal service of more than 5,000, because those are special permit things over and above the base use in that district. Should you make some reference that retail and personal service of less than 5,000 are allowed by right in that district?
I don't think we have to make, personally, I don't think if something's allowed by right, I don't think it needs to be in a board order. That's my personal view.
So when are you going to decide about the street level office?
When we talk about the conditions, which may now not be until next week. I think what Councilor Schwartz is driving at, and Councilor Auchincloss, I think, concurs, is we have a big picture policy issue to discuss that we frankly haven't discussed yet. And maybe we ought to discuss it.
I don't mean to push. I'm just saying that if we wanted to, this might be a time to do it.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we start the discussion about the change from the business 1 and 2. Remember, it's zoned part 1, business 1, part business 2, the MU4. Councilor Schwartz, do you want to tee it off since you suggested it?
I'll take a stab at it. So I think that as a matter of policy, we should think about what is the goal of MU4, and whether this is I think the threshold issue that has been challenged is this an appropriate site for MU4, and I guess one of the basic definitional questions is it part of a commercial village center? And I think it's been put out there that yes, it is, because it's close to the, there's retail already in this area. There's quite a bit of activity. It's folks on the south side of the highway come to the north side to go to restaurants. People are living on the north side of the highway come to the south side, and it's a crossing point, and that it is a commercial area. I guess my question would be, well, where does that end? There's obviously businesses along Washington Street towards Newton Corner, and then along the way towards West Newton. So is there an intensity of commercial use that defines the center, commercial center, or is it simply the presence of some commercial use? I mean, I think that there's probably a critical mass of commercial uses that would define the borders of that commercial village center. So not being a planner myself, I guess I'd ask for their guidance on that, but this particular site where there's been a series of commercial uses for many years, I think is probably, at least the westernmost side of it, would seem to be to meet that definition. The westernmost end of it, that too, I guess, except for maybe the gas station, I don't know, I guess that's commercial, but it's not kind of what I think of as village center commercial, like stores, retail, but I could be convinced that because the post office is past that's still part of the village center. I don't know, that's where I start. Perhaps this is not what other people think is appropriate, but I think it's where I start.
Councilor Albright?
We could be guided a little bit by the ordinance itself, which has five criteria
you know, about, well, the commercial center, it has transit, and so that area where the gas station is like within a two-minute walk to the transit or the bus. So I think transit, access to transit within some reasonable time frame has something to do with it being a commercial village center. And sufficient density and intensity of use promote a lively pedestrian environment. I mean, I think these five things that are in the ordinance give us some guidance about whether this is really the village center or not. And it seems like this place does agree with all those five items.
Councilor Auchincloss.
Building off that point, I was actually doing some reading this afternoon about that, and my favorite urban design author, Jeff Speck, who wrote The Walkable City, talks a lot about this concept of the pedestrian shed, which is a quarter mile walking radius, about 5 minutes walking, and we could define, or we could think about an appropriate location for an MU4 as a place that is within 5 minutes walking of some basic amenities for a Newtonville resident, a place where they could get something to eat, a place where they could perform some basic services like a barber, a place where they could get on the transit to get to work. And I think that it's hard to think of a place in Newton that is within more variety of things within a 5 minute walk than the corner of Washington and Walnut Street, except potentially in the Newton Highlands. And so that to me is a starting place, is that 5 minute walk area.
So, if I may, I have a couple of questions for the planning department to help inform my thinking. Where else in Newtonville would you envision rezoning so that we create an MU4 district? Number one. And number two, where, if anywhere in Newtonville, do you think it's appropriate to retain a Business 1 or Business 2 district? And where are we going to put office and other non-retail commercial space in this city if we don't do it anywhere near our village centers?
Those are big questions, but I think I can take a stab at it. So where I would put MU4, I would say the commercial core where there historically used to be mixed-use buildings with residents above. So I would think that block of Washington, maybe the next block where the Verizon building is now. I would
going down towards Newton Corner, just so we're clear?
Yes, going okay. East. Certainly along Walnut Street, where you think of the core of the village now, where CVS is, near Austin Street, going down towards the end of the village. The Star Market parcel could be appropriate for MU4. In my mind, it's the commercial village center.
And what would be then left for Business 1 or 2, if anything, in your mind?
Those same areas are appropriate for business, and you could maybe go out one level further than the commercial core and still maintain some transitional business uses.
And where are we going to now be deriving our tax revenues if we're putting retail in every first floor and building three and four stories above for residential?
Where is that? Say that question again.
How are we going to improve our commercial base? And where are we going to put office space if we're now essentially allowing retail in every first floor and residential in three and four floors above?
So I think office is still appropriate in the village center, although it may not create the most pedestrian lively type of space that we're envisioning.
Above the first floor.
Potentially above the first floor, sure. I also think you can sort of just go out one more block and still keep some commercial. I think of Washington Street in general as being appropriate for commercial. I think of the RL Tenant building that was built farther down towards West Newton, a three-story commercial building by special permit. I think of Needham Street and Route 9 and Riverside, Wells Avenue. We have some more like regional streets, arterials that are, in my mind, more appropriate for office than
mixed use.
I guess that's so pushed out. What's being proposed in Needham Street, though, is a tremendous development, which is almost all residential. But we're not debating
that
tonight.
We're not talking about that tonight.
Councilor Crosley?
Well, along those lines, I do think we should pay attention to the project that's before us. I understand the desire to want to think about it in context, but it has to be thought about within the context of what is there now. I agree if there's very few perfect places for us to be able to apply the MU4 district to across the city, and to me this is perfect for the reasons that Jake mentioned. I don't know if 5 minutes is the exact right number, but it sounds about right. You know, you want something that is within a reasonable walking distance from a variety of services that support. I agree that we should all be refreshing ourselves on what the intent of this zoning ordinance is that was created and passed not that many years ago by the Board of Aldermen. I also think that as you know, as we move into the future, where kind of when I was in school in the 1970s, we read a lot of books about the streetscape and the city, taking the city apart, understanding its elements and putting them back together. One in particular wasn't a great read, but it was by Oscar Niemeyer. It's called The Sensible Space. And Barney, I bet you read that book. So, the same sort of vintage. But it's about the value of mixing uses from a social point of view and from a practical point of view as well. We're safer if we have eyes on the street at all times of day, at all seasons of the year. When you mix uses and you look for that, that's what we're talking about, I think, when we're talking about vitality and activating the space and all those kinds of things. We're looking to have eyes on the street at all different times of the day and year, so that there can, not for the sake of social interaction, but because that it's a healthier, safer environment for all of us, and it's much more practical when you only have to walk a few steps or 5 minutes to get the things you need on a daily basis. So to me, this is a perfect opportunity to move a piece of the city into the future in a really positive way, use an ordinance that we spent years crafting so that we would be prepared to do exactly this. And I, you know, it's on the other hand, it's one site. We have the market pressures we have today, and the economics are what they are today, and I think it's time for us. I'm not going to look anymore at what other mix of uses might be in that space. I'm looking forward to zoning reform 2 rolling out, and actually hopefully we're engaging in it sometime soon as well, so that we can start mapping and understanding better where the edges are going to be, where we have to transition from one use to another use, because that's important. I get why you're asking these questions. You know, if this is going to be MU4, then, you know, what happens at its edges and what happens somewhat beyond those edges, and how do we transition gracefully and as gracefully as possible into the surrounding neighborhoods. But we're going to have those edges. Those edges are what are going to befuddle us and are what are going to create the concern and the I don't want to use the word fear, but it's you know, the tension in the neighborhoods, because at some point the business district ends and the residential area begins, and there has to be something in between that we can honestly and comfortably say transitions well, is compatible with, or whatever words we want to use, but it works. It's really kind of the, to me, it's It's the typical New England village on a somewhat larger scale, and there's examples throughout the state you can think of. Natick Center, for example. Now, Natick has only one center. It's a much smaller town, obviously, but its one center has 4- and 5-story buildings in it. In its core, in fact, that's the oldest part of the center, and then it moves outward, and it becomes smaller in scale until it comes down to residential buildings used as businesses and then residential buildings. And I think, you know, that's what we're trying to achieve in a city that already has some things in different places that we might not have planned to have there today. So I think this site is a perfect site to show what we can do positively to try to begin to build in on the village centers, make it more vibrant, but also to affect that transition.
Councilor Crosby, is Natick Center an MU4 type district with residential in the middle, or is it
there's
office
residential,
and commercial?
There's residential mixed in. But these are old buildings for the most part, and you know, they don't have a lot of new buildings or new building opportunity. And if I'm making an example, because they're big buildings, so there's retail on the first floor, there may be office on the second floor, I really don't know, but I can tell there's residences up above. It doesn't really matter. It's just that there are examples of this kind of thing that work well. This is not as intimate an environment as a place like Natick Center. As we've talked about a number of times, why does the scale work here? Why does 5 stories work here in the tower at the edge as the Newtonville Area Council picked up? You need something strong and massive along Washington Street here because Washington Street itself has no edges. It has no opposing edge. It doesn't help to create that sense of place that one of the folks who came up to testify was so articulate about. Oh, she was speaking against the project. She spoke, Zina Koch, I believe, who spoke beautifully about what excellence of place means. And it is about making places that people feel comfortable in. For me, I look at the drawings and the simulations and so on and so forth of this development and how it could transform this block. And I see spaces that make me feel like I want to be in them. I could live there. I love that the building steps back in the front and steps down in the back and creates decks and balconies and gardens on the roof and so forth. I think it's a very good job with in taking what we're allowing by special permit and turning it into.
Well, Reg, I appreciate that. I think that I want to, and I asked you the question. I want to let's try to talk about the zone change rather than what this particular project is.
Well, this is about the zone change because if we don't change the zone, we can't have this project.
Yeah, a different project.
It will not achieve what this project can achieve. What I'm trying to say is you need this much mass along Washington Street. You need the 5 stories. You need the tower element. A compact building, the MU4 zone wants us to develop compact buildings with multiple uses. And the more compact the building and the more appropriately it's massed on the site, the better the development's going to be. And we can't do that with the BU, even if we turn it all into BU2 so that it's one zone. It's not the same project. It's not as good a project. In my opinion, I think the mixed-use district we designed is perfect for this site.
Councilor Albright and Norton, and I'm sure there's others. Go ahead.
So I've been thinking about this very issue myself as well. And when I went to the MMA, the Mass Municipal Meeting, a couple of weeks back and learned that Beverly had recently created a mixed-use district in its downtown area that was 5 stories by right. And so I wanted to know who else is doing that. So I asked the MAPC that question, and I said, you know, for towns and cities of our size or smaller, who else is doing this kind of project in their central business districts and their commercial centers. So I learned that Malden has 6 stories by right, up to 12 by special permit. Stoughton has 4 stories, 5 stories by special permit.
Marlboro has up to 70 feet by right in their downtown. Beverly has the five stories. Melrose has five stories by special permit. Natick has the five stories, 60 feet. Salem has 70 feet by right. Pittsfield has 60 feet by special permit. So this is something that's happening to cities and towns, and not large ones, Brookline, Boston, not urban ones, but more suburban of our size or smaller. This is something that's happening. And I think it's happening because people want to keep their village centers vital. A lot of these places had village centers that were sort of getting a little down in the mouth, and this was a way to revitalize them. And it's also a very sustainable way to house people. We've done enough urban sprawl in the United States. It's time to start doing things that's more sustainable. I think our friend Councillor Norton, ought to be able to speak to the sustainability of this kind of model to house people. So this is something that's not just a Newton thing. This is a trend, and it seems very appropriate that we're right in the middle of it.
Could I ask you, since, could you educate us a little more? One, do you know how many of these changes were of recent vintage versus ones that have been around for a while? And two, are they building a project like this with commercial or retail on the first floor and the rest residential?
Yes, exactly. That's what they're doing. I know that Beverly did this 5 years ago, and I've approved like six projects. I don't know the rest of them by detail, but I can certainly get it for us.
Interesting. I'm not going to ask for more work, but certainly interesting fact. Councilor Norton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sustainability is indeed a very important topic to me, not only environmental sustainability, but also financial sustainability. So the questions being asked by our colleagues are, I think, very appropriate to be asking about this project. While we are looking at this project, the decisions we make about it will have implications wider than just this area. As we heard, and I appreciate the candor from Ms. Anant, we could have similar districts all over this area and basically be cannibalizing our commercial districts and our commercial revenue. This project, even without the additional three bedrooms, is predicted to gain us around $200,000 a year, which is a rounding error in our budget. And that's, as I said, without six additional three bedrooms, which I am waiting to hear what the impact of that would be, but I'm guessing it will not be positive. So we have, as we know, $1 billion liability. We have that because, arguably, of decisions made by our predecessors. I heard from a lot of people after we raised residential taxes 5.3%. When we do that, it hurts people. I know why we did it. We have needs. But it makes the city less affordable for those who are already here and struggling to stay here. Some people ask, why do we even raise it to the max 2.5% every year? When I was at the MMA conference, I spoke with a Waltham City Council who was boasting to me that they haven't even, they don't even charge their full tax levy. They're $12 million under what they could be charging. Why? Because of their commercial revenue. Because of all of their commercial properties that they're able to benefit from, that their residents are able to benefit from. So, you know, whose job is it to look out for the financial well-being of the city? It's not the developer's job. The developer is doing his job. I would argue that it's the planning department and our job, and the mayor. I've already reached out to the mayor to point out that he's done this study on where housing could go. Well, why aren't we doing a study on where more commercial revenue could go? And I'm looking forward to that conversation, and I know some of us are going to be participating in. So I think these questions are very relevant. And I appreciate my colleagues for bringing them up.
Thank you. Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, to weigh in on MU4 versus keeping the current status quo, it's a very tricky question and decision because there's a lot of fine attributes in MU4. So, you can get a better look for businesses, we can get a better look for the whole project rather than just kind of go with the old style business type operation. So, the challenge becomes to what I'm hearing in the community, it's not what I like or not or don't like, it's from the community, is that we're looking at a size issue that's a little different than what we've seen in the past. So we have one-off buildings that are possibly five stories in some areas. I know we can find a few streets where we have them. But what we're doing here is defining the way the centers will look, to the village center will look going forward. And I think we have to really be concerned with that, because my big thing, and I've spoken with all parties of this out there, is that without adequate boundaries established, I have a hard time approving MU4 for the very reason that Alexandra mentioned, that we start getting MU4 creep going down the roads and going different directions. And Newtonville, I don't think, is getting any assurances here, even from their own ward councillors, that they can stop this MU4 creep going through Newtonville. So I think what we have to do as we weigh this in is, I like what we're talking about here with the MU4, and I like all aspects of a lot of the project, but I do have concerns that once we open up this further, that we don't stop it. As I came on the council a few years ago, which at the time was the Board of Aldermen, I stressed that I was big on the existing footprints and going back up again. So I didn't like Austin Street, because Austin Street was taking open space that could have been kept as open space. Unfortunately, some folks pushed that one way too hard, and I don't think that was the advantage of the community. So I don't have a big problem with taking existing footprints now and going up from where we are. But what I'd be concerned with now is that we're looking down the street both directions, Newton Corner, down to West Newton, and that Washington Street could become one big boulevard of 4- and 5-story buildings. Now, that won't happen overnight, but it could happen in 10 to 15 years, given the time, because you couldn't get all those projects underway at one time. So I think when we weigh this project here, I still, a couple of councils docketed an item to have a discussion on the village centers and where the boundaries are and such like that, but I don't see enough definition in that at this point. And I think we need more. I know everybody talks about zoning too, but you know, it's not like the second coming of the New World Order or anything. This zoning too, we have to address what we're actually going to accomplish with it. So if we can't tell the residents and folks exactly what we're doing with this, I can't understand why we would allow it and then keep going forward. And then I look, we had a speaker tonight spoke about the demonstration that we had out there. It was not a protest demonstration, it was a project demonstration about how to check building heights. So one of the things I looked at was that Attorney Peter Harrington was there, who everybody knows in this chamber and the council has served the community for years. So Peter doesn't have any real horse in the race now. So when I look at someone like that, I look at a community player that's really trying to look out for the good of the city that he served for the past 50, 60 years. So when I look at somebody that's committed like that, I look at somebody that's really got a vested interest in the future of Newton. And I think his opinion, like many others, has to be weighed in when we weigh in this MU4 concept. So my concern with that still comes down to the same concerns I've had for the last couple of months, is that until we can define that and really nail it down, I'm just not going to leave it to chance that, you know, that my colleagues get enamored with the next big project that shows up and they're all jumping on board and we move down the street in both directions. And then the other part, I know it's here, she has this concern as with Councilor Norton on the commercial side. And I work in Waltham, you know, many of the folks over there, and their ratio of commercial is 60% of their tax base. You know, residential is 40%. It's a huge double, it's a huge difference. I mean, for those folks in Waltham, they literally will build a commercial building anywhere. So we have to be a little more careful. So I think that's where I'm at right now with this whole concept, is I like the way it's kind of designed. I like the MU4. I think, you know, you can't ask for more in a developer. They put their heart and soul to get this to work. I think we just got to make sure that as a community, we serve the public by making sure we put the boundaries in to ensure their future is here. That's my basic comment.
Councilor Lennon, because you haven't spoken yet, then Councilor Austin.
So I think you're looking for some clarity with regard to the specific zone on this project. I keep hearing very big picture discussion regarding what we're doing and where we're going and docket items that have been put into committee about the definition of village centers. But my understanding is the chair wants to understand what we're doing with this and whether we support this zoning change or not. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
It is, but I did inquire the planning department to get some context.
You did, and I actually, just to be frank, I thought the question was maybe a little unfair to the planning department, because you had asked potentially where MU4 could go, and you gave them the answer, and then you said where would D1 and D2 go, and they could probably go in the same place. So I just thought it was a little unfair of the planning department to try to answer that in the context of what we're discussing. That's just my opinion. If I were to answer that, I would probably say that MU4 could go with what we have yet to define as a specific village center, and maybe D1 and D2 could be on the periphery so that you're creating sort of a balance throughout. But every village center is going to be different. I can't say for the village centers that I represent that MU4 may be better than B1 or B2 or vice versa. I don't know that, but I think it's going to take some strategic planning as we go forward amongst all the bodies in the city to do that. So in terms of this particular project, I think that where we're talking about this specific site, the MU4 is appropriate. I mean, I remember sitting through a lot of those conversations, and maybe we didn't have this specific site in mind, but it was the concept that we were all thinking about. This is what we were doing. So I'm in favor of doing this. I don't know if that gives you clarity. I think we've put a lot of thought into the project, and if we're trying to understand if the project is going to shift people's thought process about the zone, well, I think we've done about as good as we can do. So I hope that gives you a little idea of where I'm coming from. And you know, I look forward to a bigger discussion regarding the context, because I think it's an important discussion to have. Excuse me. I think it's an important discussion to have that all stakeholders within all village centers have a conversation about, because I can envision things that we may do in areas that I represent that we may not do in other village centers around the city. So, and also maybe Mr. Water can tell us if everything that we've brought up tonight about Waltham is true, about, you know, levying to the limit and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, he'd be a good source of information if people want to talk to him, just so everyone's aware. Right, Mr. President?
You know, Mr. Waddick, in his other night job as a city councilor in the city of Waltham, and has been for some years.
Councilor Auchincloss, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I would echo President Lennon's comments. And I would say that I'm definitely looking forward to the conversation about MU4, the definition of where MU4 belongs, if they get the chance for us to do some village-based zoning. And I just want to touch on Councilor Cody's comment about precedent, because I think it's important. I've heard this a lot now, and I think it's really important that we address that word, because it's a loaded word and it's not being used correctly. A precedent is a decision that sets a template for future decisions. The very nature of a zoning change and the very nature of a special permit application is that they are unique to that specific circumstance. Every single one of these is unprecedented, and so there is no precedent being set with this decision, and nor are we looking back to a previous precedent. So I think it's important to recognize that. There's no linkage.
Councilor Schwartz and Yates.
So, I think that, yeah, so there's the question about whether it's an appropriate site for MU4, and then I think then another question is within the MU4, whether this particular mix of uses, particular scale, particular height, which obviously there's a range within MU4 that's allowable, is going to be appropriate for this particular project. And obviously that's a more specific question to the petition in front of us, but I do think that those are separable questions. A, whether it meets the not guidelines, but principles that are envisioned in the MU4, and then second, whether within an MU4 district, what we would like to see. So, like, I can imagine an MU4 on the other side of 90, kind of right in the village itself, which is certainly part of the commercial village center. We might not want to see 5 stories there, right? But it still could be an MU4 mixed use with some office and/or residential above the commercial or retail. Whereas on the other side of the highway, in the north, where this particular site is, I could see people arguing that because of the size of the highway, potentially because of the, the lack of defined space from one side of the street in Washington, that one could go up a little higher. So
those are some of the questions that I'm trying to answer, and I guess to the extent that we can consider what has been done in other communities, I guess that would be helpful to me. I don't know if we can get some of that data that Councilor Albright raised. The other thought I had on what Councilor Albright was talking about is that I can imagine there are some communities that might be trying to attract more investment that maybe are in a different, slightly different posture than Newton is right now, obviously, as far as the residential market. So we might not need to do that. Maybe we do. I don't know. It sounds like we need to do something for commercial. We need to encourage more commercial to come here because we're getting a lot of residential. So maybe we need to think about how do we encourage more of that. Those are my thoughts at this point.
Arthur Yates, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just a few comments on the issues that have been brought up. Business, too, in my mind, is a highway-oriented thing, that gas stations is the key use, and I guess gas station on this site is no longer a live possibility. The other communities that were cited as having some similarity to this, I would say that Malden, in my recollection, does have access to full-scale rapid transit and therefore can sustain much better development, more dense development than something of lesser intensity. If we're going to cite some of those other communities, I'd like to know how frequently they are served by commuter rail compared to Newtonville. Natick is a very interesting community, but my take on Natick is that they've found the goose that laid the golden egg out on Route 9, and they've taken the money from the commercial development out on Route 9, and they've spent it to upgrade their public services in Natick Center. There are fairly dense residential buildings in there. I'm not sure about the ones over the retail things on, I believe it's Route 27. They also have a very nice park and good bus shelters and the like. And so I don't know if they're comparable at all, but I think that's it for now.
Well, I'll briefly share my thoughts just for my college edification. No secret that I've been struggling tremendously over this project and over this zone change. I go down in Beacon Hill, or I go to, Concord, or I go to Waltham, or I go to Lexington, and I'm sitting there counting the store, Brookline, and I'm counting the stories and buildings as I go through and trying to get a sense of what is involved in various kind of village centers in those places. It's perhaps only something that my colleagues and maybe the planning staff can appreciate. My guess is the general public doesn't do that very often. Maybe thinks it's a little bit odd. It's probably like water and sewer, Councillor Crosley. But those are the details that we tend to get immersed in. And frankly, I'm coming up with really different conclusions. I mean, if you go into Beacon Hill, for example, you walk along Charles Street, you see 4- and 5-story buildings, very mixed uses. Some residential above retail, but some office space above retail, a mixed blend of things. If you go into Concord, for example, I think primarily 2 stories in the Concord Center, a very vibrant area. I think very little residential in the heart of it, but residential in the immediate outskirts. There's a variety of other places, Wellesley, Brookline. I mean, they offer different things, and so I don't know what the right answer is, quite frankly. I mean, I think, and this is where I'm struggling, I think there's a certain attraction to putting, for example, a prominent feature on the corner of Walnut and Washington Street, which takes it over the 4-story limit, but adds something that's very positive to the building. At the same time, I've repeatedly said, and I'll say it again and again and again, even if you're all tired of hearing me, that we can't lose sight of the fact that we're giving up a commercial base. And where are we going to put it? And we can talk all we want about mixed use four and mixed use four's benefits, but if all we're doing is putting retail on the first floor and residential and four floors above it, we're taking what is valuable commercial space. And Councilor Norton is right. You know, we talk about affordability, but if we increase our taxes, our real estate taxes, and I've been in favor of the past overrides because I think they've been appropriate, we are creating a burden on our citizens, every single one of them, and it does affect the affordability of where they live. So we can talk all we want about creating affordable housing, which is very important, but if at the same time we're creating a situation where we have to have repeated overrides and we're increasing the tax on folks because we don't have a sufficient commercial base, that should be cause for grave concern. And those are the things I'm struggling with. I don't think it's, I think MU4 has a lot of good characteristics. I think this project has a lot of good characteristics, but I'm struggling with it. And I do have to, I guess I disagree with Councillor Auchincloss in that this is going to be precedential. And we've seen that in other projects when we talk about what is consistent with the neighborhood. And when you've embarked on a series of changes, I think we had some projects in West Newton, for example, where the neighborhood had changed over time because of a series of special permits that were allowed, so that when somebody else came for the next change, the neighborhood was different. Doesn't mean that's bad or wrong, but I don't think we're acting in a vacuum. And that's why I asked it, maybe the unfair question of the planning department about what they envisioned, you know, going forward, but I'm trying to think that through. So those are my thoughts, you know, my colleagues' discussions and arguments on this issue, as always, to me, are very edifying, and I think, as you all know, I am persuadable by my colleagues on a whole host of issues, and I'm really going to be looking forward to, you know, continued robust debate on what's, for me, a very tricky issue. So is there anybody else? Councilor Albright.
Just wanted one thing along with your counting stories. Last week, the planning department kicked off its Walnut Street redesign in the senior center, and they put a slide up of West Hartford, and they were using that as an example of elegant streetscape. And they had a building there, and so I think Councilor Auchincloss was doing the same thing I was. Several people came up to me afterwards and said, I was counting stories, and it's five stories, and that's in the village center.
I'm glad I'm not the only person who's become slightly too much, shall we say, too focused on that issue.
Right. But one other thing I wanted to add is that, you know, it's public policy that created the Newtonville, the one-story Newtonville that we see. When they set the tax base based on how much property you had, so people tore down those buildings and built those one-story buildings. So that was probably not the best thing to do for the village center, but that was the tax policy we had at the time. So now we have a chance to write things a bit, and I think this could be the beginning of that.
And I just add, I don't think anybody really has a quarrel with the idea that one-story buildings and village centers are poor economically. They don't contribute to the vibrancy of the village. I think the struggle is what that village looks like. Is it four stories? Is it five stories? Why? Open for discussion. Councilor Yates?
The way I've heard it is those one-story buildings replacing multi-story buildings with residential that I still remember that on Lincoln Street in Newton Highlands, there used to be a lot of people living right there over the stores, and over the course of the years, office space came in and could pay more, and the people and one person I knew in particular wound up moving to Boston and becoming a civic leader there, and now where he used to live is has licensed social workers in every nook and cranny. And my understanding is further that where some of these buildings were reduced in size, it was during the Depression when there was literally Nobody was going to pay the rent in the upper stories, so it was financially beneficial to property owners to remove their upper stories so they didn't have to pay property taxes on them.
Is there anybody else who wants to comment at this juncture on the zone change? I think it's Councilor Schwartz. Thank you for the suggestion that we actually try to have some internal dialogue here. I think it's both helpful for all of us, and I think, frankly, it's helpful for the public to see what our thinking is on this. Is there anybody else who wishes to express an opinion, try to persuade me one way or the other, try to persuade anybody else? All right. It's about 10 of. I think this is probably an appropriate place to adjourn for the evening. Rather than get started on the conditions again, I think, Ms. Young, Ms. Anand, what do you think for next time? How do you want to tee it up? Do you want to walk through the board order in its entirety, or should we start with the plans and really focus on those? I'm seeing the plans. Is that a consensus? Colleagues, does that make sense to focus on the plans next time so we can make sure we understand exactly what we're approving? Because the plans, as I think Councilors Crosby and Albright remind us, really guide a lot of what we're doing here. Okay, so we are taking this up on the 28th. We are adjourned. I will see everyone then, if not before. Thank you.